I haven't had a chance to listen to the news yet today, but I'm sure there's a lot of news out there. Maybe it's some weather-related thing that's going on, or maybe some tragedy that happened. The news usually reports the bad things. Well, Christmas Day for us is a reminder that Jesus has been born, and now you and I have this wonderful good news in our lives. It affects us personally. It changes the way that we live here and what we have to look forward to. And it also changes how we act in this world. This is all temporary. We're looking for something better. Today we'll be studying some verses from the book of Hebrews that reminds us this wonderful good news. It came from the past, all the way from the Garden of Eden. We have it here right now. And that good news carries us on into the future until we're safely in heaven. Heavenly Father, the angels sang of your love when Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Accept our worship in hymns of praise and joy. As we celebrate the coming of your Son, grant that in him we may learn to follow our Savior with thankfulness for all of your blessings to us. Grant that we may reflect the light of salvation in our daily lives, that others may see your gift of salvation and praise your holy name. Through Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord. Amen. Our first scripture lesson is from Isaiah 9, verses 2 through 7. This is what you would call a messianic prophecy. Messianic meaning Messiah, that's Jesus who came into our world. And a prophecy meaning that this was a promise that God was making to the Old Testament people. Here Jesus is described as the great light. He shines that light of the gospel into our hearts. Jesus comes here to keep the law and do so perfectly and to bring us into his kingdom. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. For those living in the land of the shadow of death, the light has dawned. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you like joy at harvest time, like the celebration when people divide the plunder. For you have shattered the yoke that burdened them. You have broken the bar on their shoulders and the rod of their oppressor, as you did in the day of Midian. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. The authority to rule will rest on his shoulders. He will be named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no limit to his authority and no end to the peace he brings. He will rule on David's throne and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from now on into eternity. The zeal of the Lord of armies will accomplish this. Our next scripture lesson is from John 1, the first 14 verses. This Bible reading reminds us that Jesus wasn't just a man. He had human form just like we do. We could have shaken hands with Jesus. He could have eaten with us today, looked just as normal as anyone else. But he couldn't just be a man. He also had to be the true Son of God. One of the interesting things about this Bible reading is that people, when Jesus came, they didn't recognize him. Even after all the prophecies and John the Baptist, they weren't looking for this kind of Savior, but that's why Jesus came, to be true man and true God and to do for us what we could never do for ourselves. In the beginning was the Word, Jesus, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He, Jesus, was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, To those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent or of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. To you and me is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. God's word for our study is our third scripture reading from Hebrews 1, verses 1 through 4. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. Dear fellow worshipers, any day of the week you can get news somewhere. I hear it on the radio when I'm driving. You can get it online. You can have it pop up on your phone. I don't know if many of us buy newspapers anymore, but you can certainly get the news that way too. And you can watch TV. The news is on there three times a day. Sometimes it's interesting how the news works, because maybe they've sent out a reporter and a camera person and they're filming something. Something has happened and it gets reported in the morning. But by noontime, that story is over, and now it's something else that gets reported on. And then after noontime, then it's something else in the evening. The news is constantly changing because our world is changing. But then the other thing about the news is, most of the time when the stories are reported, they're all done. You don't hear about them anymore unless it's a continuing story sometimes. Anything is old news once it's reported. Well, sometimes people make the mistake of thinking that Christmas is the same way. Once Christmas gets reported and the baby has been born again, then it's time to finish off the Christmas cookies and put away the Christmas tree and be done for another year. Well, you and I are reminded today in our study from God's Word that that is not the case at all. The story of Jesus started in the Old Testament, right after Adam and Eve fell into sin. It continued on in New Testament times with Jesus coming into the world. And it continues on into the future, because God's plan of salvation didn't end with talking about the Savior and sending the Savior. God's plan of salvation ends when we're all in heaven with the Savior. Today you and I are encouraged to remember that the birth of Jesus is good news for us. News that came from the past, news that we have right now in the present, and news that is wonderful as we face the future and what God has prepared for us. After Adam and Eve fell into sin, the very first thing that God did was announce that he was going to send a Savior. Adam and Eve took that promise seriously. When they had their first son, Cain, this is what Eve said, "With the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man." Some Bible scholars think that Eve was really saying, well, this has got to be the Savior. This first son that was born to me, this has to be Jesus. And if that's what she meant, we could understand that. They were eager to fix the sin that they had gotten themselves and everyone else into. But God wasn't ready to send Jesus just yet, not send the Savior. Well, what God did then in the Old Testament is he not only promised the Savior, but then he added details to it, details to that promise. And we heard some of that in Isaiah today about Jesus and who he would be and what he would come to do and how he would save the people. And all through the Old Testament, that's what the prophets did. You can imagine the prophets sitting around and thinking about Jesus coming into the world. You can imagine them telling them about how Adam and Eve fell into sin after God created a perfect world. And then you could see them thinking about how God was promising other things along the way and all these other Bible stories that the prophets would have shared. They didn't have a Bible to hand out and say, here, read these Bible stories. They were passed on by oral tradition. And so the prophets, that was their job. They spoke for God. They shared that wonderful message with them and continued to do so throughout the Old Testament. And all the details about Jesus were added there. Think about this. The Old Testament prophets never got to celebrate Christmas. They got to talk about what Jesus would do when he came and what he would be like, but they never got to hear about the birth in the stable. They never got to hear the angel say, "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." They never got to see Jesus here on earth and hear him preach or see him perform miracles. They didn't get to see any of that. In fact, Isaiah is writing in the one reading that we read, it's probably 700 years before Jesus is even born. And yet those prophets and those Old Testament believers, they had faith. They had faith to believe that God was really going to send that Savior and do just what he said he had promised. And their faith is really no different than ours. They believe that Jesus was coming, and now our faith tells us, well, Jesus is coming again, and that's the thing that we put our faith in as we think about our own lives of faith. This good news came from the past, and it's still good news for us today. How many people do you think really know the message of Christmas? I would hate to even take a poll on that because I think the numbers would be pretty discouraging. At least that's what I'm thinking. For a lot of people, it's about the presents and everything else that goes on at Christmas time. Today, Christmas Day, the presents are probably opened and maybe there's people already moving past Christmas and now they're thinking about the new year coming in a week or so. I don't think a lot of people really understand why Jesus came into the world and what he came here to do. And can you see then how this message that the angels gave the shepherds and that we have the joy in sharing about Jesus, how it's still something that's really needed? People need to hear the history. They need to hear that Adam and Eve fell into sin and ruined all of this perfect creation that God had made. They need to hear that promise. Genesis 3:15, where God said he was going to send a Savior into the world. And you and I need to continue to hear that too. This old news from the past is still something that we need today. This promise of a Savior that came into the world is ours. It came from the past, and it's something that you and I can use each and every day of our lives right now. You and I are living in what we would call the New Testament times, the time after Jesus was here. A testament is a promise. The old promise is that Jesus was coming. The New Testament, the new promise, is that he will return. When Jesus was here on earth, he was like a prophet too. He would speak for God. Wherever Jesus went, he was always talking about God's plan of salvation. Whatever Jesus did was always connected to the message that he was sharing. When he was at Mary and Martha's house and Martha's running around trying to get things ready for a meal perhaps, there's Mary sitting at his feet and they're not talking about what's happening in Bethany. They're talking about spiritual things and that was the better thing for them to do at that time. Jesus came as a prophet. He spoke for God. And he told the people exactly what was going to happen. Here's what our Bible reading says. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he also made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. Jesus came here as a man. That's how people saw him. But he's also true God. He's true God and all these characteristics that Jesus has, just like God. He has the same glory as God the Father. When creation was happening, Jesus was there and he took part in that. Jesus, as the Savior, came into the world to save all people, and now he uses his power and his wisdom to control all things and rule all things. This good news about Jesus is something that people needed to hear and something that we have the privilege of knowing and understanding today. There are people that don't understand the Bible's message about Christmas, and then there are those that distort the message. I can't remember how long ago it's been, but there was a big push in our country, especially with businesses, not to say Merry Christmas. At some stores, the people, the workers, they were told, you can't say Merry Christmas, you have to say Happy Holidays. And then a Christmas tree. You couldn't call it a Christmas tree. You were supposed to call it a holiday tree, because Christmas, I guess, was offensive to some people. There are those that have the message of Christmas right in front of them, but they're distracted by other things. And then there are people that have the message of Christmas, and they seem to understand it, and they don't like it. They don't like to learn about Jesus. Maybe they're feeling guilty about their sins or something. I don't know. But they're distorting the message of the most important promise that God ever gave us, that good news of a Savior coming into the world. How thankful you and I can be that we know the real message about Christmas. God has given us the faith to believe it, and we understand all the details about the story. We celebrate Christmas every year, and it's such a wonderful thing to be able to do. And we also understand that God has given us that truth for our salvation. It isn't a small thing to know about Jesus. It is not a small thing to have our faith. It's the best thing that we could have ever received, because it's good news for us right now, and it's good news for our future. Here's our Bible reading. After Jesus provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. We know what Jesus did while he was here on earth, and we always, when we use the Apostles' Creed, we're really summarizing all the things that Jesus did. He's conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, crucified, died, buried. That's his humiliation, where Jesus set aside the full use of his power and glory so that he could live here like one of us. And then Jesus is exalted. He descended into hell to proclaim his victory over the devil. 40 days after Easter, and he spent those 40 days showing people that he was alive and that really had been raised from the dead. 40 days later, he ascended into heaven. And then what do we say? He's seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there, he's coming to judge the living and the dead. The plan, the good news continues, doesn't it? Not just sending Jesus here, not just promising it, not just sending him, not just him giving us faith in our hearts, not him just saving us, but there's one more thing that needs to be fulfilled, and that's Jesus' return to take us and all believers home to heaven with him. And that's what Jesus is waiting for, just like we are. And what's happening in the meantime? Well, Jesus is in heaven. He's ruling all things. We can be confident that he has everything under his control. We know that he has his angels with him, too many to count, and he has them serving him throughout the world like he did when Gabriel appeared to Mary or to Joseph or to other people. Jesus is in heaven taking care of all things because he's waiting for the fulfillment of everything that he's done, getting believers home to heaven, getting them away from the devil and his temptations, and taking us to a place where there will never be any effects of sin ever again. And while we're waiting for that, what does Jesus do for us? Well, Jesus is our joy. I often talk about the difference between joy and happiness because the distinction is really important. Happiness is good, but it depends on circumstances. I might be happy if it snows, if I like snow, and I'm not happy if I don't have any snow, something like that. But joy does not depend on circumstances. Doesn't matter how I'm doing. Doesn't matter how well or how poorly I'm doing. Jesus gives us joy because nothing can take away our faith. Nothing can change the fact that we're forgiven of our sins. Nothing can change the fact that we have a home in heaven with the Savior. Not only does Jesus give us joy, but now he's guiding us through our life here. We use his word. We can use it every single day to be guided. God wants us to live this way. He wants me to talk this way. He wants me to think this way. This is how I treat my neighbor. This is how I treat my family. This is how I go about my work. God has guidance for us in everything that we do. While we're waiting, Jesus is in heaven. He's giving us joy and he's guiding us every day. And he's also giving us comfort. So often we need that in our daily lives. Loved ones pass away and go home ahead of us to heaven. Other things happen where we need God's comfort and his wisdom, and God has promised to give us just that. Isn't it just wonderful news? It came from the past. God was going to send a Savior, and now we've seen that fulfilled, and now we're waiting for one more thing to happen for us, and that's going home to heaven, and we're confident of it. Because Jesus has fulfilled this entire plan. He's taken away our sins and made it possible for us to be in heaven with him forever. New Year's is coming up a week from today, and people, I'm sure, are probably thinking about that already. I don't know if you remember this from when the year changed from 2020 to 2021. I remember seeing a commercial where people were saying goodbye to the coronavirus, moving into a new year. And the ad was like, goodbye masks, or goodbye this, or goodbye that. And I suppose people thought it was just going to go away, which it hasn't. But my takeaway from that commercial was, well, if everything is okay, you know, we don't have any sicknesses or anything, then everything will be fine. And we'll go into a new year and we'll all be happy because we'll all be healthy and everything will go great. That was my takeaway from the commercial, but obviously that's not reality, is it? Are there ever any perfect circumstances in our life here? And of course the answer is no. And if people are waiting for that, then they're waiting for the wrong thing. Jesus has actually told us that just the opposite is true. While you and I live here, we should expect trouble. We should expect sickness. We should expect difficulties. We expect people to pass away. That's a part of life. Jesus has told us we'll go through many hardships before we enter the kingdom of heaven. And when it comes to the new year, do you and I know exactly what's going to happen in the new year? No. But we do know who goes with us. Regardless of what happens in the new year, our Savior goes with us. Regardless of what happens in the new year, we have our faith, and we know we can always count on the Lord to continue giving us that guidance and direction. Whatever happens in a new year, God's in control. He's got it all figured out already. He has a plan for us, and it's all figured out. He's got the time of Judgment Day all figured out, and he doesn't want us to worry about it and get upset about it, but to have confidence and comfort, knowing that we can trust him, and to sit back and relax spiritually because we've got this wonderful plan, this wonderful good news that God has blessed us with. I'm sure we could go home today and see the news, but it's just temporary. It changes all the time. Thank the Lord that the good news of Jesus never changes. It's the same message every year, and that's a good thing because we need that same Savior every year. Jesus is our good news from the past, good news right now. He's our good news for the future. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all of our human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We'll continue with our Christmas confession of faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, who sent his Son as my Savior on that first Christmas. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, announced by the angels, worshipped by the shepherds, adored by the wise men, who lived to suffer, die, and rise again, who has freed us from sin, death, and the power of the devil. I believe in the Holy Spirit, who has brought us to faith in the Christ of Christmas, who continues to work in my heart, who leads me to lay before the feet of my Lord the treasures of my love, and to live under him as my King, both now and forevermore. Amen. Lord God, Heavenly Father, Creator and Sustainer of the universe, we praise you for the special love you have shown us, your fallen and sinful creatures. You have kept your word and sent your Son Jesus to be born as the promised Savior and Redeemer. Lord Jesus Christ, we marvel at your servant-like heart, which moved you to do your Father's will and take on human flesh. You became fully human so that you might live the holy and perfect life we could not live, endure the agony of the cross, and suffer death as our substitute. O Holy Spirit, we thank you for your saving work of bringing us to faith in our newborn Savior. You have opened our eyes to see that despite his humble appearance and lowly circumstances, this child who lies in Bethlehem's manger is the mighty God, the Redeemer of the world. God of our salvation, as you have brought us to faith in the Christ child, so we ask that you would work powerfully also in the hearts of those who do not yet know him or who do not know him in truth. Grant that the world's attention to the Christ child may not only be a seasonal attraction or a sentimental novelty, rather bring sinners to faith so that they may see him as the answer to life's problems here and the sure hope of life eternal with you in heaven. Hear us, Lord, as we spend a moment bringing you our private prayers. Let the joyous message of Christmas be preached in all the world, and may it find ready acceptance in believing hearts, for the eternal benefit of lost souls, for the extension of your kingdom, and for the glory of your holy name. We pray this in Jesus' name, as we also join in our Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.